Welcome to our third Sunday after Epiphany audio worship podcast of Holy Cross Lutheran Church of Austin and Our Savior's Lutheran Church of Brownsville, Minnesota. February 24, 2021, this is Pastor Olana. When someone calls you on your phone, do you always answer? In our present day with a caller identification, many are opt to let the call go to voicemail, to wait and see what the message is and who it is from, and at times wait to respond depending on the level of importance. How about when God calls? Especially if that call is one to repentance, do you answer? We hear in today's readings the response of some. John was a reluctant follower. He went to Nineveh begrudgingly, but through him God would issue a call for the Ninevites to repentance. Jesus would call Simon, Andrew, James, and John to follow him, and promise that through them God would issue a call of repentance to many. In baptism, God has called us to follow him in a life of faith and repentance. And he promises that through us, others will also be called to that same repentance and new life. May the Heavenly Lord bless you this morning as you worship with us. Please join me for the confession of our sins and forgiveness. We begin in the name of our God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Make us know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait. Amen. If we say we have fellowship with God, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquities and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with a willing spirit. Amen. Now receive the blessings of forgiveness. Our Heavenly Father has had mercy on all of us, and through Jesus' work has set us free from sin, death, and the devil's work. Through the faith instilled in us by the Holy Spirit, we know and I declare as an ordained servant of Christ that you are forgiven in the name of our God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If the Son set us free, we are free indeed. We are sure that he hears us if we ask him for anything that is according to his will. He hears us whenever we ask him. And since we know this is true, we also know that he gives us what we ask for him. Let us praise him. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully look upon our infirmities and stretch forth the hand of your majesty to heal and defend us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you, and the Holy Spirit, one God, and now forever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading for this Sunday is taken from the book of Jonah, chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, and verse 10. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey. And he called out, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of all of them to the last of them. When God saw that they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them. And he did not do it. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading for this Sunday is taken from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29 through 31 and 32 through 35. This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealing with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. And his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Now, after Jonah was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the Gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the Gospel." Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become a fisher of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with hired servant and followed him. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Let us confess our confession in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, and suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Receive the benediction.
Hear your voice, and in your fold. and endless praise to you be given by all your church in earth and
heaven. Good morning. This is Pastor Stolman with today's devotional Bible study, which centers on the epistle lesson for the third Sunday after Epiphany. But first, we begin with a prayer. O Lord God Almighty, because you have always supplied us with the gifts which come from your Holy Spirit, leave us not destitute of your many gifts of grace. Help us use them always to your honor and glory and for the good of others. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The epistle lesson for this third Sunday after Epiphany is recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 29 to 31. Paul writes, I mean, brethren, the appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning. And those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it, for the form of this world is passing away. Thus far the reading. Just a note about the readings during this season of Epiphany. As usual, the Old Testament lesson is related to the Gospel lesson. However, during this Epiphany season, a second lesson, the Epistle lesson, resumes the continuous reading from one of the epistles and is not necessarily related to the Gospel. So this year, our Epistle lessons during the Epiphany season are continuing a reading from 1 Corinthians. Last week in chapter 6, we heard about the factions that had developed in the church at Corinth. It was becoming such a problem that some of the members wrote about it in a letter to St. Paul. He dealt with this problem, the factions, in the first part of this letter. After dealing with the problem of factions in the congregation, Paul now turns to some other questions that were raised by members of the congregation, which were also included in that letter. So, at the beginning of this chapter, chapter 7, Paul writes, now concerning the matters about which you wrote. He then goes on to talk about marriage and celibacy, that is, not being married. Why is this so important? One reason is that he had been, one reason is that he had been talking about immorality and how marriage can help a Christian avoid sins of immorality. But there seems to be a certain urgency when Paul writes about these matters, and it isn't until we get to the verses of our text, much later in this chapter, that we hear why this is an urgent matter for Paul and should be for all Christians. So Paul writes, I mean, brethren, the appointed time has grown very short, for the form of this world is passing away. Among Christians, there has always been a memory of the promises of Jesus Christ concerning his return. Since he did not say when this will happen, most Christians hope it may be in their lifetime. Jesus did offer some signs that may help us watch for his return. He did so because he wants us to be prepared. Prepared in the sense that we are living as God would have us live, not caught up in the pleasures or worries or sins of this world. In fact, before he suffered and died and rose again, he spent time teaching about the last days of the world and his second coming. You can read about these in Matthew 24 and Matthew 25. Several times in that teaching, he says, watch. It is this idea of Christ's second coming and watching for it that Paul is referring to here when he writes about the time of the world growing short. In this context, then, he gives some examples of being prepared for that second coming. He writes, From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. The apostle is not saying we should not marry, or we should not rejoice, or we should not mourn, or we should not carry on commerce. He is saying that in all these matters, we should not become so caught up in them, so wrapped up in them, that we forget that this world, with all its things, is passing away. They may be important, such actions, for the moment, but not in terms of being permanent. In other words, for example, when we declare our love to our spouse, our love will not be an eternal love for that person. Or when we buy a house, we're not buying a forever house. Someday this will all come to an end. A new life will begin in eternity as a result of what Jesus did for us with his suffering, death, and resurrection. Christ has bought men with a price and has destined them for glory. Their life within the orders of this world, such things as marriage or commerce, has a provisional next to the last chapter. For the form of this world is passing away to give place to the new world of God. As his redeemed people, we are to have a loose hold on the things of this world. Our goal in life should always be an undivided devotion to the Lord who has saved us. That is why the apostle is pointing to the positive teachings of Jesus Christ and the promises of his second coming. For those of us who recognize sin and what it has done to this world and what it has done to us in making us sinful and sinners and thus imperfect, the promise of a future with God through Jesus Christ is essential in keeping us aware of what we do while living in this world. It also gives us hope. When we are weighed down with the troubles of this world, whatever they may be, we know it is coming to an end. God is in charge. And as a gracious God in Jesus Christ, he will save us and bring us to himself. We may think it a pity that Paul did not begin this chapter with our text because it has the heart of this whole position on marriage. As is so many cases with the scripture, one must read the whole context of something for it to make sense. Throughout this chapter, many commentators have felt that he was belittling marriage, but that was not Paul's view when one reads the whole chapter. When he wrote to the Corinthians, his outlook was dominated by the fact that he expected the second coming of Christ at any moment, and so he writes, "The time is short." Christ was to come soon, so everything must be considered with that in mind, including the most important human activity or the dearest human relationships. If Paul thought that he and his converts were living in a permanent situation, he would never have written as he did. He knew, as we do today, that living in this world only temporarily, the home is the place which does two things for us. It is the place where we find the noblest opportunity to live the Christian life. Also, it is the place from whose rest and sweetness we draw strength to live more nearly as we ought within the world. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for blessing us in Christ with every spiritual blessing through the washing of holy baptism. We praise you for your glorious grace. Help us show our gratitude for our new baptismal life, empowering us with your Spirit to live our lives to your glory, especially as we live our lives in families. We pray this in our Savior Jesus' name. Amen.
restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen.
Please join me for the closing prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord looks upon you with favor and give you peace. With this, we bring to the end our service for this morning. May the Lord bless the rest of your days. Go in peace and serve the Lord.